A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Radio check.
Loud and clear.
KSL Sports and KSL Podcast present Mode Push, an American view of F1, starting now.
One stop. Here's what you get with this Odyssey.
I'm gusset. I'm absolutely gusset.
I enjoy this so much. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome in. It is our F1 podcast sweeping at least our family's nations, okay? Taking away from our personal family time because this is such a hard gig. Dan Jimenez joining me on the program. As usual, I'm Alex Keery. It is our podcast that we like to call Mode Push. Dan, what's up, man? How was race weekend?
It was great. I mean, some are calling it the race of the season. I think there's an argument for that. It was a fantastic race.
You know what's funny is why was it the race of the season? Because the conditions got really weird, and that's never something you want to really hang your hat on. Like, yeah, it was really awesome. You know why? Because the weather was terrible.
Yeah, you can't say that in any other sport, but 186 overtakes,
hey,
which is officially the most overtakes in an F1 race ever.
Oh, ever.
Okay. So the most passes we've ever seen. Now, a lot of those overtakes happen in the pit lane with so many people diving in for tires and all that. But even during when it dried out, I was surprised at how much overtaking there was in side-by-side racing. It seemed like cars could pass at the end of both of the DRS straights. Zandvoort delivered in a way that I don't think it had in the previous 2 years.
Yeah, and you know, I think the thing that's best about that, I think the thing that we got out of this the most was that it wasn't the beating. I mean, that's what I think the weather does, right? If the weather were perfect, would Max have won by a minute and a half? I don't know, maybe. His car is certainly as dialed up as it's ever been. But he also had to be, I mean, like, he just does. It's one thing to have the fastest car, Dan, but he also just doesn't make mistakes, it seems like, which is extremely frustrating, but also really an amazing thing for us to witness this year.
It was the most impressive, I've ever been of a drive by Max Verstappen, because he had so many opportunities to make a mistake throughout the race with all the different conditions that were thrown at him. And yeah, he delivered to perfection. So I'm sure all of us want to see another winner. But to see him tie that the all-time streak record of nine wins in a row under those conditions, you just have to tip your hat to him.
What would be more amazing that for the season? Would it be that Max accomplishes the almost impossible and wins out the rest of the nine races? I mean, he's got however many in a row now. Does he have nine in a row now that he's won? Would it be more impressive that he were to do that, or that somebody else enters the mix and somebody else hooks their car up enough to be able to figure it out? Certainly, I think like Aston Martin over the weekend started to see a little bit more of their form that they had at the beginning of the year. But what would be something that your desire would be more so, that Max would finish that off and totally just make it the most boring season ever, but also one of the more amazing accomplishments in racing history?
I mean, as a fan, I want to see other teams catch up and make it racy there for the first position. So maybe the consolation prizes. If not, then we get to witness history. And, we can't understate how much of an accomplishment that would be if he wins out the rest of the year and Red Bull has a perfect season. It would be incredible. I would just be, you know, we obviously worry, what does that mean for the following seasons? And is anybody going to be able to catch up before 2026 when the regulations change again? But I have hope that there are going to be moments when maybe Max, you know, or the team isn't totally on their game and another team is now close enough to capitalize. I think Aston Martin, McLaren, and then honestly, Mercedes. The pace analysis showed that Mercedes was just as fast as Red Bull during the race, but they were just mired back with, you know, poor qualifying and then a bad strategy. But when things dried out, they were just as fast. So if they had started up front, I think they would have been knocking on the door too. So I think the teams are getting closer, but Max just hasn't stepped a foot awry at all.
So let's hear a little bit from those first, their podium finishers here. This is the reaction starting with Max and then down to Fernando, and then also to a surprise on the third position of the podium in Pierre Gasly. Take a listen.
To win nine in a row, even when you have the best car on the grid, it's always incredibly tough, and especially with a day like today, you know, everything is basically against you and it's easy to trip up, make a mistake, go off, but we didn't, we stayed calm. And yeah, to win a race like this today is definitely very rewarding, and then of course being it your home Grand Prix as well with all the fans makes it even better.
I felt great today. The car was it was alive. I think I was feeling connected to the car today from the beginning. So we overtook a few cars at the start, and then in the very difficult conditions in the first laps we were very fast, even faster than Max. And yeah, at the end to finish P2 after the difficulties that we went through in the month of July, it feels like, as I said, being alive again.
It feels good. I must say it feels good. And especially, you know, start of the season, I felt like we were pretty unfortunate on many occasions. And we're like, okay, there's nothing we can do. You know, we just got to keep trying hard, keep pushing, keep focusing on ourselves and improve what we can and what we have in our hands. And today was an insane race, like a lot of actions, a lot of calls. I called it on lap one to box straight away. We had great pit stop, great strategy. The pace was good. I could keep up and even pull away from the Ferrari and kind of stay not too far from Fernando. And it just got me very excited again. You know, we're fighting for this position is obviously a lot more enjoyable. And we had a small penalty, 5-second penalty, but luckily on the other side, Checo had a 5-second penalty as well, and it all worked out.
That's not that impressive, by the way, Dan, to pass a Ferrari these days. Everybody's doing it. Come on.
Yeah. Does not say much. No, I mean, Gasly, he seems to get the most out of the car when he's put in this position of like, okay, like you're way ahead further ahead than you should be. And can you close it out? He seems to be able to close it out. Like he's clutch, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, he kind of got a little fortunate there with Sergio's 5-second penalty, putting him on the podium.
Yeah. One thing that, I guess performance wise over the weekend, Pierre Gasly getting that P3 was pretty interesting. Checo had the weirdest race, right? I mean, at one point he was leading the thing and everyone's going, geez. And then there was the question kind of in the middle of whether or not he was, you know, getting screwed on the team call to undercut with Max coming in earlier, getting and Checo even asking, like, did we just get undercut by Max while we were in the lead? And, you know, it turns out that it was the team. I think it was probably Christian Horner who made that call. It wasn't Max's team who just go, let's do it now. So I do think that there's a, you know, I don't know. Checo has just had such weird races, and most of it is just on him. I mean, you get fourth place after you should have been on the podium because of a 5-second penalty, and you know, just there's a couple things here and there that Checo just doesn't do himself any favors. It seems like, and I'm bummed for the guy because I like him, but it just doesn't seem like a guy who's going to end up at Red Bull long term because Helmut Marko is brutal and doesn't care about your feelings, doesn't care that you've got 200 plus points, you know, in the driver's standing and that you're, you know, in a solid second place there. It does not matter because they just look at it and go, yeah, you could have done way better. And I mean, but at the same time, they're celebrating Max. And so I don't know how things feel at Red Bull, except for they're trying to really love this moment that they're in. And enjoy the fact that they're the best in the world and maybe the best it's ever been. And yet at the same time, they have to have a second driver conversation probably at the end of the year.
Yeah, leading up to the race throughout the weekend, there was mixed messages coming from different members on the team. And, you know, Helmut Marko, he doesn't hold back. And he was kind of insinuating that they're reevaluating that second seat, even for next year, which is still a contract year for Sergio. So going into the race, it's like all that is like a cloud hanging over him. And he executes pretty well, you know, pits on the first lap to get onto the intermediates. You know, it makes up a ton of time, comes out in front of Max, gets the undercut, which sucks, but I understand it. Christian Horner is going to make that call. But then like when the rain came the second time towards the end of the race, I mean, he made two mistakes that Max didn't make. He lost the car a little bit on pit road, which caused him to speed. And then he, or I think it was even before that, it was when he spun out going into turn one. Like Max didn't make those mistakes under the same conditions. Right. So, you know, he just wasn't quite on it like Max is, and that's kind of been the story of the season.
So you have a strong performance from Alex Albon this weekend, fourth on the grid starting after just an insane qualifying. I think that that guy, I mean, he's loving where he's at right now. He said the Williams car feels better than it's ever felt since he's been in it. So that's positive. That's a positive sign for you know, the Williams team. When you look at some of the drivers, I can't help but think that Charles Leclerc is just absolutely beside himself. His teammate outperforming him, but not only that, Charles just looked hapless. He was getting passed. When I think there was that moment when Liam Lawson, who got the start because of Danny Ric, it was not lost on anybody. In fact, it was the only time that we've been excited about a 17v18, you know, P17 and P18 battle that was happening, because it was just like, look at Liam Lawson passing Charles Leclerc, who ended up passing him right back again because he's going, I don't want to get fired today. Like, let's not make this happen today. So it was just a bad weekend for Ferrari overall. They've just been everybody keeps saying these guys are super talented, and this car is a massive mystery for these drivers.
Yeah, they were slow through every practice session. They weren't all that fast in qualifying. And then, yeah, I mean, lap one, Charles made the call to come into pit road. And so the team wasn't quite ready. But I'm also thinking it's raining outside. Go stand up and stand next to the intermediate tires in case your driver comes in. It's not that hard. But, you know, he pits, he comes to a stop, they take the wheels off, there's no tires there to get put on. So he wastes another 5-10 seconds. And so it just looked like another comedy of errors on Ferrari's part. And then, yeah, Charles kind of maybe picked up some damage and just was slow. And yeah, Liam Lawson, it was cool to see him pass Charles. And then Liam also unlapped himself and got past Max, which I read a stat is the first time Max has been passed on track by anybody this season was Liam Lawson unlapping himself right before the safety car there, or the red flag there at the end, which is cool. I mean, Liam Lawson, like, the dude was like playing video games on Friday night,
right,
and then
he gets a call,
doesn't get a dry practice at all, has to qualify, and then is thrown into the most chaotic F1 race in recent memory, and he manages to finish like 14th in front of like three other cars that were on the track. It's not like it was all attrition. He beat Magnussen, Bottas, and George Pitt right at the end, or he retired right at the end. But I mean, that is, he's just kind of burst onto the scene lately. So we'll see how long it takes Danny Ric to recover. I know he's going to be out for Monza, so I know we'll at least get to see Liam one more time this week, but it could be longer, a longer recovery than just next week. But yeah.
I don't live in Italy. I've only been once in passing. And I just would really love to get all of the newspapers, because they, you know, they talk about how insane the media is with Ferrari. And right now it must just be going absolutely berserk. Not that there's any pressure in Monza this weekend, right, for the Italian team.
Oh, my gosh.
It is going to be a wild deal, because you have to perform here. You absolutely have to do something. But what is a legitimate performance? What is a quote-unquote good performance for Ferrari now?
I think it's a podium. If they can get on the podium, that's a good result for them. I think that's what they're racing for. I think a win is probably too dreaming too much. But, you know, this weekend they're doing a special livery, and they've got like the they've added yellow, I think, to the livery and to the fire suits. They kind of look like they work at McDonald's. There's memes going around of, you know, those two guys flipping burgers and taking orders. But it's a tribute to the Le Mans winning Ferrari race team from this prior year. So Ferrari came out of kind of Le Mans 24-hour retirement for a long period and then raced for the first time this year, and they won Le Mans, which was awesome. Like, Ferrari hasn't won anything that significant in a long time. And so now they're kind of hopefully get some of that mojo by using the same color scheme that they did for the Le Mans race.
That's what I was just, and that's what you heard pop up is it was Carlos getting his McDonald's uniform. That was his reaction. He's like, oh, he's like, this looks terrible. Well, I'm sure he was saying it looks amazing, but yeah. I mean, it's all red and yellow anyway, but the way that they put the stripes on the fire suit looks really, it does. It shades of Ronald McDonald. But I mean, look, this is a year where it's crazy because with all the guarantees that you have with Max, everything else has been absolutely up in the air. Like, it hasn't been since I've been into F1 racing, you know, basically since the beginning of Drive to Survive. So 2018, I guess, that kind of watching the end of the 2017 season, probably, like, that's what they did. The wrap up of the first Drive to Survive, I think, was for that 2017 season. And I just, there's always been somebody, but it's not just Dan. It's not just like the same guys finishing first, you know, with Lewis Hamilton dominating and Mercedes dominating forever. It was also the same guys in all the rest of the order, it seemed like, too. Everybody kind of, and so we talk a lot in American sports about parity, just like how much of a premium it is that, like, the NFL, the fact that even the worst, quote unquote, worst teams on any given Sunday could show up and actually do something against some of the best teams in the league, and they could even steal a win because the talent is that close. And that's what this has felt like aside from Max. And even with Max performing the way he is, that just probably makes his performance even more insane because it's been such a coin toss.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's, I think the parity at the car level and the development level is as close as it's ever been. But we just have a freak of nature who is like locked in on that particular car and is not making a single mistake. But it's second through 20th, like we say every week, is incredibly exciting. This week we had six different teams represented in the top six for qualifying. And I think we might have had that too for the, I guess we had two Red Bulls in the final six. But up through eighth place, we had eight different manufacturers, with Red Bull in there twice. So tons of parity right now. And you just, if Max comes back down to earth, then I think we're going to have, you know, a very competitive season next year. But I think that the onus is more on the other teams to step up their game and close that performance gap, next year. Because we know Red Bull's not going to slow down. So I think that we need to look to the rest of the teams to really close that gap and find that last little bit that they're missing to make next year super competitive.
Not that I'm into this, but for entertainment purposes only, Dan, this is what they say about the betting. I don't know who would go and bet on F1 because it's so insane, but the odds for Max Verstappen to win the 2023 Grand Prix, I've never seen somebody favored at minus 450, because the closest one after that is Sergio Perez at plus 1100. And then after that, it just goes. So here's the order, and it's all pretty much close until about George Russell. But Ferrari's behind the rest of that group. So it goes Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, Lewis Hamilton, and Lando Norris have the best odds for a podium. Then Oscar Piastri, quite a bit behind those two. George Russell with Oscar Piastri. Leclerc and Sainz for Ferrari are both, as it's at least slated here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7 and 8. That's literally what they really could do. Fernando Alonso, I don't know what type of a track Monza is. Does it benefit a team like Aston Martin? I mean, he's been... That car he was in this weekend, you heard him say at the beginning there that he's felt connected to it. Their car is really competitive now. But, I mean, Fernando's just been insane all year long, despite the odds. But do you put him that far back, or would you have him more along the lines of where Lando Norris and Lewis Hamilton would be?
I think right now he's driving at the top of his game. He showed so much experience and talent and ability in this last race and the changing conditions. I mean, I was a believer on the lap of the restart after the red flag. He was so close to Max going into turn one. And he even said in the post race that he was considering making a dive bomb into turn one. And he just, you know, I guess experience got the better of him and he held back and held on to the second place. But man, he is on it. And he is showing how much of a talent disparity there is between him and Lance. It's not looking good for Lance, but and thinking back to Ferrari too, like, yeah, the car sucks, but it plays, Monza is going to play into the hands of Ferrari because it is a low downforce track. Of any of the tracks we go to, it's the most high speed, low downforce. Okay. So everyone's going to stick their super tiny rear wings on and go for all out top speed. And, you know, Red Bull's really fast because they can put on a big, you know, fat wing, but then they're super efficient with the DRS and like all this stuff. So, I think that it'll be a more even playing field this week. And Ferrari's been known in the last few seasons to be a better top speed, low drag team. And I think Sainz is not getting enough credit for the results he's able to consistently pull out. Like, he seems to be like Mr. Fifth Place. So he's just far enough out that we don't ever really talk about him, but he's really consistent and he's definitely out driving Charles this year. So I think if Ferrari's going to get on the podium, it's going to be Carlos and not Charles.
Who else benefits from the setup that Monza has? And is it going to be the 188th passings that they're going to have at this track to pass last week's record? My thought is probably not,
unless we get another wet race. You know, we've had some surprise finishes in the last few years. We had Pierre Gasly got his first win there,
right?
And then we
Leclerc
also
won
had
it in 19. I mean, that was, yeah, they've had a different winner. One, two,
and Danny Ricciardo,
right? Danny Rick back in 2021. They've had five different winners in the past 5 years. So that's at least a positive. Now, the unfortunate thing is last year was Max Verstappen in 22 for his first win ever at Monza. And that might be, obviously it'd be tough to call it against him. But yeah, five winners in the past 5 years is nice.
And if you look back, the last four winners the next year at Monza, they DNF'd. And so everyone's saying, okay, is the Monza curse going to continue and catch Max this year? Is this, can he not break that like speed of sound barrier of nine consecutive wins and just, you know, chaos and chance takes over and he just can't finish, you know, that beating that streak to 10 wins. But in terms of other teams that it plays into, Williams, you know, they have consistently super high top speed. You know, they're kind of known for leading the DRS train. Like, they're just fast enough in a straight line without their DRS that they can keep the people with DRS behind them. So Alex Albon, he's kind of on a bit of a hot streak. He didn't quite get, I think, the finish that he deserved in eighth place, that he was probably more of a sixth place car. So I think looking at there, and I, you know, Logan Sargeant, I think this is a chance for him to have a breakout race. I think that it plays into his car's, you know, strengths. He just was the first American in 30 years to make it into Q3 to qualify in the top 10 since Michael Andretti. So that was great, but then he immediately binned it. And so didn't work out. So I think if you're Logan Sargeant, you're like, okay, I got to score points. If I'm going to score points in my first year, it's this race.
Final thoughts here on Monza and the Italian Grand Prix and what your dream podium would be and what a real podium actually is going to be.
Oh, man. Final thoughts is, if it's a dry race, man, I think that I'm not going to say Ferrari. I mean, my heart wants to say Ferrari because of the just, it's so amazing. And when Charles won it that 1 year, was it 2019? It was so cool to watch that, those guys win the home race. But, you know, I'm not going to say McLaren either. I think they're too high drag still. I don't see it playing into them as well. So if anyone upsets Red Bull this week, I think it's going to be Mercedes or Aston Martin. So I'm going to go dream podium is Alonso with a win. And Lewis up there in second, and then we'll say we'll throw Max a bone in third.
Okay. The only way that Max does not finish in first place is with the DNF. And
that's,
I'm not saying
true,
that the Gremlins are finally going to get him, but I think that it's hard to be perfect all year long, although, you know, Red Bull is defying those odds. But I'm going to say the podium is going to be a Max, Fernando, Checo. Dream podium is Fernando, Lewis, Alex Albon.
Boom. There you go. I like it.
I'm going to throw in a Williams, prediction. Just kind of a, like, he just sticks it all together. Why not? When Williams hasn't had a fast car in forever, they have one now. They have a decent driver. He's got some confidence, and so that's going to be my prediction, is that somebody is able to do it there. So with that, I think that's kind of where the end of our road here, Dan. So we're looking forward to the Italian Grand Prix, and then what do we do? Take another break, and then they head to the race you went to last year, right? Singapore is the one after Monza.
Ooh, Singapore is coming up.
What you can almost guarantee in Singapore is some rain coming down at some point, right? So,
oh my gosh. The rain last year was incredible.
Yeah, and if not, your sweat. You can always just rely on wherever you're sitting being wet, because you're just going to be either sweating your butt off or it's going to be pouring down rain. So looking forward to this race this weekend, Dan. We'll chat with you again, man.
Looking forward to it.
All right. For Dan, I'm Alex. Download the podcast. Tell a friend, teach a neighbor about F1, and it's not that bad, okay? You don't have to wake up that early. Just record it like you've always done with all your other sports and watch it later. We'll talk to you next time, everybody.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.